The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Welcome to St. Patrick's Day, Monday, March 17th, 2025. Rainy and 42. And it looks like it's just going to be pretty much rainy and probably not a whole lot warmer than it is right now, okay? That's just the way it is. Just got pounded with rain over the weekend. Now, we do have some... Actually, we only have one weather delay at this point in time that I'm aware of, and I haven't received any other contacts from any of the other districts, but Three Rivers School District is on a two-hour weather delay today, and the buses are on a two-hour delay, et cetera, et cetera. So because of the rain and the flooding, and there's been a lot of that in Siskiyou County. In fact, they had quite a few. I was reading a Daily Courier, flooding leading to – actually, this is KDRV, pardon me. Flooding leading to several water rescues yesterday in Josephine County because of flooding. Rural Metro Fire saying crews initially dispatched to Upper River Road, Hunt Lane, disabled vehicles stranded in the middle of the road, and then the adjacent levee failed on a irrigation ditch next to Ford Fanoy Elementary School. So in other words, there was a lot of stuff going on yesterday when it comes to the weather, but it is going to start drying out a little bit later tonight into tomorrow, and then another round of storms will be kicking up here. It's going to remain wet and kind of snowy in the higher hills right now. I wanted to give you a quick take here on what we're looking at right now. Siskiyou Summit had an inch of new snow overnight, about 8 inches on the side, and TripCheck reporting that they're just saying, hey, carry your chains. You know, they're not required at this point. Hayes Hill, though, snowing, spots of ice, and a new bit of trace of snow, 4 inches there. And they're also restricting that just a little bit, just to be prepared on that, though. However, they're saying carry chains or traction tires if you're heading out to the coast one way or the other, because, you know, who knows what's going to be going on. Lake of the Woods, pretty severe weather going on there on Highway 140. Chains required on anybody that's towing or above 10,000 pounds on your gross vehicle weight. And let's see, we got 6 inches of new snow there overnight. Green Springs, Highway 66, they had an inch of snow, 49 inches on the side. And yeah, definitely you want to take your chains with you there. Dead Indian Memorial Road, pretty much it's closed except for local traffic. I think you've known about that. Maybe you haven't known about that, but needless to say, they've had an inch or two of snow overnight, so we have a lot of snow in the higher hills, which has been kicking in, and that could still be going on this morning. Join the conversation if you're seeing anything going on, 770-563-3770-KMED. First of all, I don't know if my brother Mike is listening this morning. Sometimes he tunes in on the Facebook Live, but I got to say, happy birthday, Mikey. Happy birthday, Mikey. Let's see, it's 1964, so he's 61 years old today. Happy birthday, my little Irish leprechaun brother. Mike was always the ornery one. He's still ornery as a 61-year-old. He can't help himself. But Michael was always, as the little brother, he was the youngest of our family. Diana was the middle, and I'm the eldest. And the funny thing about Michael is that if things were too quiet, Mike had to stir it up. That's what we loved about him. That's what was also enraging about him. You know, at that time too. And you know, I just have to smile on some of the stuff I think back to Michael, my brother Mike, as a little kid. So ornery and usually getting in trouble. And there was one point that Diane and I got so upset with him because he must have been tormenting us or doing something like that, that we actually took him and we put him in jail. Now, Mom wasn't impressed, because what we considered jail was that we had this old, we had an old dryer in the basement, gas dryer with the glass window in it, you know, that sort of thing. And so we put it in it and we held it closed. Now, we didn't turn the dryer on. I must have been like 4, Diana was 3, and Michael was maybe 2, you know, that kind of thing. And Mike was screaming and carrying on. And of course, Mom was really upset at that time from what I remember because, Well, we never would have turned it on, but you know, she didn't know that at the time. But Mom also said later, yeah, I had to laugh. I always remembered what he was like. At one point, my father ended up making a paddle one day. The Board of Education, so to speak. You know, the disciplinarian tool here is what we had. And Diana and I shared one side of the paddle with our names written on it, and Michael had his own. And I'll remember when I was about, you know, 5, 6 years old, I was in the living room, and Mom was in the living room too, and we saw Michael sneaking around, and he ended up going and getting the paddle out of the cupboard where it was kept. And he's like looking around, and he's tiptoeing around, he's going over, and he's hiding the paddle. He's hiding the paddle. And then Mom's going, she starts laughing at the same time, go, okay, what has he done now? And starts looking around to whatever he had broken. But all right, there we go. Happy birthday, my brotherly leprechaun on St. Patrick's Day. No saint, but we love him dearly. 60 minutes after 6, 770-5633. We have open phones this hour. Anything that's on your mind, you've seen some weather-related issue or anything else going on, please let me know. Other than that, hey, you can call in on anything you want. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's deplorable St. Patrick out here. And I enjoyed seeing you at the Patriot Conference, and
thank you.
Kind of wish we had. You did a great job of bringing in Kevin Starrett the best way you could, and but it'd been nice to have him there. I was going to ask him a question. I'll ask you now. I asked you this before. Maybe you didn't know before, but maybe you know more now. I got caught straddled of this deal. I put a deposit on a rifle. And I haven't picked it up yet. And I don't want to go through all of those hoops. When does that 114 kick in? Not only that, I just have a brand new pistol that I love, which would not qualify under the new regime.
Well, practically everything in my safe doesn't qualify any longer. I have a feeling it's going to be probably one of the most violated laws here in Southern Oregon, besides the speeding law, as it were. But as far as Measure 114 is not in effect right now, it is not. It is one of those things where there is now a delay, given what happened with the court, and now what is most likely going to happen is that it's giving them time for the plaintiffs to appeal it to the Oregon Supreme Court, okay? So
you don't always know. Sometimes things are in place pending appeal, or they're not in place pending an appeal.
Well, if I recall correctly, I remember Kevin telling me that you know, there's like a few days. They gave him like 3-4 weeks to formulate on whether or not they will allow the other side to appeal, or where the other side will wish to move forward with an appeal. Okay.
Well, that's good information. Thanks a whole bunch, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. So nothing's stopping you for right now, but I would say, given the desires of the regime to to disarm regular folks and continue to arm criminals, I would get your firearms sooner rather than later. Okay, that's all I would say.
Well, you know, one thing that hasn't been said, but maybe it doesn't even need to be said, so I'll say it anyway. They don't want you having those high capacity magazines leaving your house. That's just the first step. Mm-hmm. They'll be coming in your house next.
Absolutely. I would agree with you wholeheartedly. And people need to be treated accordingly. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Patrick. And happy St. Patrick's Day. Let me go to the next line here. It's open phones here on Monday as we get rolling. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Bill, it's Herman. How are you doing today?
Herman, I'm well. What about yourself?
Hey, I wanted to give you an update. I listened to your little news brief on the Fort Vinoy School. So first of all, that wasn't an irrigation ditch. That was Fort Vinoy Creek.
Oh, Fort Vinoy Creek. Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah. And it's probably because, you know, all the trees have grown up in that creek over the years, which is good for the fish, but bad for the flooding. Our farm got hit pretty hard. And I want to thank all the people that have called and stopped by to help. It was great.
What was it like at your farm? What happened?
Well, I hope the state is gracious enough to name it Lake Bearchugger now.
Oh, really? Lake Bearchugger. Okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can get a remonstrance up there, okay? Get someone to ask about it.
But, you know, for everybody out there with their concerns, I really appreciate that. There was no damage done to any of the buildings. It's just all the fields got full of water and got fish in my front yard and stuff like that. But that was a result of the creek leaving its channel.
Uh-huh. Now, do you know, did we actually get any flooding on the Rogue, or did it pretty much stay within the Rogue River, just really super high water everywhere? I didn't see it going over the banks, did you?
No, this is local flooding. You know, I don't think it had anything to do with the snowpack. Thankfully, the temperature didn't rise enough to melt all the snow quickly.
Which means we didn't really have a repeat of that 1997 New Year's type flooding, which we had a whole lot of snow, and then we had that warm rain, that Pineapple Express, and it just went rushing down from the mountains into the valleys. Remember that.
We also had local flooding, and that was the last time I've seen this much water around the farm. I will tell you that. There was a lot of water, but it was all because of local flooding. And, you know, we've tried to clean the trees. This has happened a few times to the school. And, you know, you can't get the Division of State Lands to let you clean out the creek, and this is what happened. That's just how it works.
So it's about getting permits to be able to clean the trees that are there. Of course, I imagine the environmentalists, though, of course, would fight you, saying that that's for fish habitat, right? Would that be what we would expect?
It's all of that stuff, but it you know, it causes a lot of damage, and you know, when you have this much water. But something worth noting, you know, every day I feed the horses about five, and mm-hmm. I have one old horse that gets its grain. So he's got a grain dish out there, which is a large plastic rubber dish. It's about 10 inches high, and it's a cylinder. So tonight, or last night, when I went to feed him, so that's 24 hours, there was 5 inches of water in that dish.
Whoa. Now Jackson County had heavy rain, but we know that when you get the serious rain, it's always Josephine County gets hit with it. And boy, nothing like it. It's something like that over the weekend is what happened, from the sounds of it.
Right. So it's a cylinder with straight sides. It's a good... I'm not saying we got 5 inches of rain. I'm saying we got a hell of a lot of rain.
Yeah. Well, still, if you have a straight, you know, something with straight sides and it gets 5 inches, you could say pretty close. That's probably about 5 inches of rain that you got there on your property.
And it's 24 hours because I fed the night before at about 5 o'clock. So, yeah, it was a lot of rain, Bill.
I know what happened in my front yard. Like I said, I'm over in East Medford by Foothill, and we didn't see any damage or any kind of flooding going on because there's enough of a grade. It ended up kind of flowing down. But Bear Creek, I imagine Bear Creek got pretty high in Jackson County and a lot of other smaller creeks. Wagner probably, you know, if you were by a creek, probably wasn't the best weekend for you, I would imagine, just about everywhere, right?
Nope. The water has went down quite a bit. And so I'm hoping, you know, another day or so we'll be back to normal. It really drains out fast around here once it quits raining.
I've noticed that. Is it just because of the grades of the, you know, the hills that we have around here, or is it just the kind of soil? But I've noticed that it's not like, you know, when I was living in Fargo years ago, Fargo Moorhead, that whole area is just lake bottom. You know what I'm talking about? It's all
it's all
prehistoric lake bottom, and it floods every spring, and it floods insanely. You know, a huge amount there in the Midwest, in Minnesota, and in Fargo, because the land doesn't perk, just doesn't. It just sits there, you know, forever. And well, it's not that way here, I guess, huh?
No, you got to remember, all this rain that's fallen on all these mountains around Grants Pass is trying to figure out how to get to the Rogue River.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
All right. Well, Herman, I'm glad you're doing okay, and thanks for the report from your farm, okay? You be well.
All right. Thanks.
24 after 6, 770-5633. What's going on in your neighborhood? How did you handle the weekend flooding and rain? Like I said, you know, it was just rained. It just never stopped at my place. It got muddy, and I see there was some pooling water in my front yard, that kind of thing. I have a gutter line which is plugged because of the old trees that were taken out. I have to dig that up in the next week or two, try to get that done and get it all cleared out. So I had pooling in the front yard, but that was because the gutter line was plugged. But that was about it. It just rained and rained and never stopped. 770-5633. Let me go to first line here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. This is Terry.
Hey, Terry. How are things?
Well, it's good. Hey, just a road update. It is snowing like crazy out in Murphy, and there's about an inch or so of snow actually on the road. So
now this is in, you said Murphy, right, Terry? Murphy?
Murphy, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, literally in the town of Murphy. It's snowing. I mean, snow's on the road. The road's horrible.
I'm also getting reports that there is snow falling on Hayes Hill. I don't know if much of it is sticking at this point, but yeah, Josephine County seems to get a bunch of that. Highway 140 is a mess this morning, too, just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're not high in elevation here either. I mean, it's huge, huge flakes out here. So anyway, thanks, Bill.
Hey, thank you for the report there. Yeah, I know that Kevin Lawless over at NBC5 talking about snow levels really at about 1,500 feet, so you don't have to... You know, you don't have down to the valley floor is the potential there. I'm not seeing any here at the Rogue Valley International Airport right across the street here so far, but the potential is there till a little bit later that it's just going to be rain, and then it starts drying up into tomorrow, and then another series of storms hits on Wednesday afternoon.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap lock machines, we bring precision and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease and quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today to get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736. CCB number 250730.
It's true. Even the rogue gardener faces challenges.
What's a good thing? What isn't a good thing? It can be hard to distinguish. My frustration this year in my gardening was with the birds. That's why I'm talking about birds. All the stuff that they did, starting with the first crop of peas. And I mean, it has just been constant. And yet they did some good things.
Talk about it with Rogue Gardener, Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
106.3 KMED is the home for Kim Komando's Digital Minute, just after 8 a.m. weekdays on The Bill Myers Show, and The Kim Komando Show Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., sponsored locally by Tech Nomad. Kim Komando is your trusted source for the latest news on everything digital, including technology, security threats, scams, the latest tech gadgets, and more. And your trusted local source for home computer repair and IT service is Tech Nomad at mytechnomad.com. Kim Komando, she's right here on 106.3 KMED.
Hi, I'm Steven with Steven Westfall Roofing, Inc., and I'm on KMED.
770-5633. It is open phones for the first hour. And one question I wanted to pose to you this morning. Tell me what level of pride that you had over the weekend with President Trump sending back the Tren de Aragua. You know, the terrorists, the ones in Denver that were taking over apartment buildings and terrorizing residents and things like that. I don't think I ever felt better about President Trump than with yesterday. Because over the weekend, we ended up having the judge appointed by Obama, by the way, saying, nope, you got to fly those terrorists. You got to fly them back. Give them due process. And, of course, he used a 1789 law to be able to send criminal aliens back. Just back you go. There you go. Tren de Aragua. I think it's how you pronounce that. And they're there. And, of course, the Democrats yesterday were just going through hissy fits going, he ignored a judge's order. Now, the White House is claiming that he didn't ignore the judge orders. Frankly, I wouldn't give a damn if he did ignore the judge order. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, I would prefer that he ignore the judge's order. It's an inferior court and doesn't have anything on the executive branch when it comes to conducting foreign affairs. And arguably, this is a foreign affair type thing. To me, that was just, I never felt better. It's like, thank you. At some point, the black robe bandits do need to be defied. And it's not that I'm talking about ignoring rule of law. But the thing is, we've just gotten to this point where this whole concept, we've all been cowed by judicial supremacy in which nothing can be determined until a judge weighs in on it. And the problem with a situation like that, the challenge of a situation like that, is that if everything has to go through the courts before anybody can do anything, We don't have three co-equal branches of government. We have judicial supremacy. And judicial supremacy is wrong. You're supposed to have three co-equal. Now, you can certainly have the courts weigh in. But as far as I'm concerned, I know the White House is saying, well, you know, the plane was already in international airspace. We weren't going to bring it back at that point. We didn't ignore it. Frankly, I don't care if he did ignore it. Because I think constitutionally, that inferior court had nothing to say about this. Now, I'm going to talk with Dr. Dennis Powers about this a little bit later. But I think I'm reasonably sound on this one, even though I'm just a baby constitutional person. Okay. No, I don't have a law degree, but half the time I swear you go to law school so that you learn how not to read the Constitution and you only read what the Constitution has been discussed by the courts, you know, that kind of thing. It gets a little irritating, you know, after a while. Well, I'm sorry, you know, you have to take the 250 gang members. Sorry, you got to put them, you know, back on our soil and feed them and clothe them and have them there. And President Trump said, no, country is better off without it. Thank you. And I wouldn't even back away from defying a court order because, you know, sometimes courts need to be defied. This whole concept that if the court says it, well, that's it. That's the final aspect of this. I think this is something which has really hurt our nation for a number, well, couple hundred years, probably, really. I would imagine Marshall is the one that really got that rolling, huh? We can talk about that and other things. 770-5633. What's on your mind? Let me go to the next line. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this? Welcome to Monday.
This is Brian Weldon.
Hey, Brian. What's going on with you?
Hey, just wanted to. I live very close to Herman Birchheiser, and I heard him. I live 100 feet from the Rogue River. And I'll tell you what, I thought it was bad, the storm on January 1st.
Uh-huh. There,
and boy, we exceeded that last night. I've been up all night scared to death about what was going on with the river.
Has it come into your property, or is it just like right up there at the edge?
Well, the river rose last night. It crested at 12:55 last night, almost 1 in the morning, mm-hmm. at 17.3 feet high.
How high is that over flood stage?
Quite a bit. We all live on the flood side because we're what we call low bank,
mm-hmm.
and the other side of the river is high bank. The river crested last night at 46,700 CFS, cubic feet per second.
Boy, that's a lot of water flowing down there for every second. Now, have you had to sandbag your property? How's it looking at your house there, Brian?
No, it would be useless to try and sandbag anything. I live so close to the river. In 1997, I didn't live here, but the realtor told me we had 2.5 feet of water in our garage. All homes have garages in the direction of the river, and you just open up all your garage doors, get your cars, and get out.
Uh-huh.
So we came within a few feet of getting water in our garage last night. And I know Merlin, Murphy, I mean, they're flooding all over this area last night.
Fortunately, I think the worst of it may be over, and that we're going to start seeing a reduction in the rain, and it will start drying out later on. So I think if you're doing okay right now, you'll probably be fine, Brian.
Yep. Yeah, I'm hoping, yeah.
Yeah, cross your fingers on that. Thanks for the report. Really do. 770-5633. We're just kind of noodling around with what's going on in your neighborhood. Lots of rain, lots of flooding in certain places around creeks and rivers. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Tom.
Cheers. How did we arrive at the point where any tin pot judge across the country can countermand the president in his executive orders and enforcing the Constitution? How do we arrive at that point? Because that seems so insane to me to think that some judge could actually countermand the president and tell him bring those prisoners and ne'er-do-wells back. It's just crazy.
I'm not exactly sure when this started. But it's certainly judicial activism. But, you know, I'm going to talk to Dr. Powers about this because I think this is important. And
absolutely. We're seeing it over and over and over again. Where the judges are just countering the president and his actions and so forth. And I would there was wasn't there some quote about somebody, one of the presidents, they had court say, you have to do this.
Oh, yeah, that was, wasn't that President Jackson at that point, or?
Well, he said something, let him enforce it.
Yeah, exactly. You have issued your order now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll look that up during the break, but I remember it was kind of famous. Now, by the way, it's not that we advocate for lawless action and that, you know, ignoring of courts, but it is just one of the tools. And this idea that you have that you have a constitutional power in which, you know, essentially, you know, when it comes to the conducting of foreign affairs and this and that, that's the president. That's it. President and Secretary of State. You know, that's it. It's not a federal judge.
That's right. And you talk about lawless. I think that judge's order was lawless. The judicial branch has become lawless. It just, you are seeing it, witnessing here in Oregon with the 114. I mean, they're breaking the law, and that's the trouble. All through Oregon, they're just breaking the law all over the place, and they just using judicial overreach to basically traumatize everybody, dominate it.
Because you even go to the Measure 114 ruling, a plain reading of the law indicates that it's unable to be complied with, and if it is unable to be complied with, it is in essence a violation of people's rights. And but this is what happens though. When communists are allowed to run through the institutions and there is very little pushback. And we also have, the scam known as, every leftist judge that we have on the higher benches was appointed by a Democratic governor in this state.
Yeah, well, that's certainly, it's a sad thing. Oregon has not just gone Democratic. It's pretty much a communist state now. And I've known quite a few people that have just packed it up and moved out because they're so disgusted with
And yet that leaves us here in this situation. You know, do we stand and fight, or are we just in the it's soft communism, obviously wishing to harden over time in the near future?
Yeah, well, that's certainly my position. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I mean, it's just... transgender story hour and just on and on. I mean, I feel like I'm living in an insane asylum, and the inmates are going along with it. They think it's great.
By the way, you do know that last week there was an interesting story about how there was a mental health professional within the Oregon Health Authority identifying as a tortoise. So,
okay.
Need we say more? That kind of explains everything. Appreciate the call there, Tom. Feel your pain. I think we all do. Good morning. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. Michael Shaw. Happy Monday to
Michael,
you.
Happy Monday. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Had a good corned beef dinner last night instead of tonight, so it's all great this morning.
Good.
The point that you guys have been making about judicial issues... The first thing that popped back into my head was all the great old westerns when you're dealing with land grabbing, barons being held up and supported by the local sheriff and judges. And that seems to me something that we dealt with for many, many decades. It's just very evident and overwhelming nowadays.
Nothing new, in other words.
Nothing new, just more prevalent. I think it's something that we really need to address as a society as a whole is where are those divides? I mean, we have three factions, three separate parts of government, and are they allowed to do their jobs or not?
And yet then you have to ask, all right, if the judiciary is the only one that has the ability to determine the constitutionality of something, does that not in essence make it the superior primary form of government in this country?
Well, but see, that's supposed to be the whole point. Three separate parts of government to be checks and balances against each other, not one supreme over the other.
But if only one is allowed to determine what is constitutional or permittable, that has to be the superior branch, right?
One would assume that, but that's where you get into the defining of the order, as we talked about, and you can ignore unlawful orders. And that's what we've been taught in the military.
Yeah, and that's why if President Trump had denied the order, I don't care. Because I think it's an unlawful order. And it's like this idea that, oh, okay, well, I'm going to sit here and have a and just whiz in my drawers as a president every time the court issues a ruling. Forget about that. You know, come on.
Yeah. So what if the court came up with a ruling that all gay individuals had to be rounded up and imprisoned?
Would we all be saying, well, it's okay. It's, that came from the court. We got to do it. And of course we wouldn't. It'd be nonsense, right?
Absolutely. So you got to follow the sensibility of things.
All right. Thank you very much. I like that. That's what's needed in the Constitution right now in the judiciary, a sensibility clause. Does it make sense? My gosh, most of what comes out of the Oregon Court of Appeals would not be. That's wouldn't pass muster, that's for sure. We'll catch up on the rest of the news here in just a moment and continue a conversation. We have a lighter story. You know how it just criminals just aren't that bright, but it's really interesting when you admit your crimes to an agent. And I have to share this story. Reverend David sent it to me. Just made me smile over the weekend. I'll have that coming up. You'll enjoy it.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Do you know that it is possible in a single...
One slip from a grim fate in the late great Golden State.
The late great Golden State update. We have to give it to you because criminals are not too bright here. But this was a story that was sent to me by Reverend Dave. It was in Gateway Pundit. Missed that over the weekend, but I love this one. A California couple convicted after bragging to Fish and Wildlife officers about their illegal possession of a sea turtle, among a whole bunch of other trophies. Now, this was a flight that happened back in November 2023, and the plainclothes officers from Fish and Wildlife, they were on the plane, and they overhear this couple behind them talking about hunting, and they joined in the conversation, according to this release by Fish and Wildlife. They put this out the other day. 24-year-old Byron Lee Fitzpatrick and 28-year-old Shannon Price boasting to the officers. Now, remember, these were Fish and Wildlife people on the plane with them. But they were boasting to the officer about the sea turtle skull that they had in their luggage. Now, that's a federally listed endangered species, illegal to possess or transport them. I wouldn't have known that, but I guess, anything is probably illegal unless you have a permit these days, right? But anyway, back to the two doofuses here. The pair also bragged about their unlawful take of a California mountain lion, and then they kept talking. Fitzberg and Price then continue on and talking about a family member who had poached and mounted all sorts of trophies, including mountain lions, wolves, and a wolverine. And the couple even showed camera footage of the family member's trophy room. Now, that was 64-year-old Harry Fitzpatrick. And once they were off the plane, the officers, the Fish and Wildlife officers, were asking the couple, hey, can we see your turtle skull, right? So the couple ends up showing the officers the turtle skull only after they were sure that there were no agents from TSA around them. The officers later wrote up search warrants for the couple's home in Chico, California, and the Fitzpatrick residence over in Napa County, which is what they did. So they swooped in there. And upon arrival now, this is on top of everything else. Remember, they're telling the Fish and Wildlife officers everything that they have poached. And at one point, they even mentioned that they were working for these agents. They kept talking to them anyway. So the agents get to the couple's home. They found the two processing another deer that they had poached earlier that day. And they also found all sorts of other stuff, poached animal parts, including mountain lion claws, a ringtail cat, a barn owl, an illegal spike buck, a whole bunch of deer, other poached mounts that they found in the Fitzpatrick's home, too. So there was a plea agreement about a year ago in the Eastern District of California. So after all that, though, they got a fine of $1,000 each for violating federal wildlife regulations and laws. And then Fitzpatrick, who had all those other poaching things, he was fined $605. And he got a six-month hunting probation. So he can't hunt for 6 months after all of these poached animals? Only 6 months? Does that make sense? Of course, maybe this is just, you know, California. We're not charging anybody with serious crimes unless maybe, you know, maybe climate crimes. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, if you try to bring Freon into California from Mexico, the EPA goes after you. There was a big story about that coming up, but I digress. But Price was convicted of violating Fish and Game Code. He got a $1,015 fine, ex aequo, also prohibited from hunting for 1 year. But Cal Department of Fish and Wildlife saying in a statement, "This case exemplifies the unwavering preparedness and swift action demonstrated by our wildlife officers." What? The most they got? Maybe $1,000 in fines and they can't hunt for either 6 months or a year? Does that make sense? Wouldn't that be something? Now, hunters, this is something I would ask you. Isn't that something that should qualify for a lifetime hunting ban? You've made it really clear that you don't care what the rules are. In fact, they were bragging about it. He just kept going. But anyway, there we go. There's our late great Golden State update. And thank you, Reverend David, for that. Great story. Yay. When you slip
from a grim face. News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
I don't really have any Irish beds for St. Patrick's Day, so I guess I have to play U2 all morning. That's it, right? U2. What are the other ones? Van Morrison. I have to play some Van Morrison bumpers, right? Isn't that what I have to do? All right. 770-563-3770 KMED. Other stories going on this morning. Yeah, there was the whole deal about President Trump. He claims, "I did not ignore the court order to bring the Tren de Aragua terrorists, you know, back, you know, the gang members. Because they were already an international." I just would have said, "Hey, you got nothing to do with this. You're way over your skis, federal judge, in an inferior court." I will talk with Dr. Powers about that in the 8 o'clock hour when he comes in for Where Past Meets Present, because this is something which has just, you know, irritated me to no end. That you can even look at plain reading of black letter law and just say, "Hey, this is all the president's doing." And I liked how the judge said, "Well, we're not at war." Okay, well, maybe we have not officially declared war on Tren de Aragua, but they've declared war on us. I think that's all that matters. You know, frankly, it's an old law from 1780s that allows the president to get people out of the country quickly who don't belong here. I would say that they've been warring on us for a long, long time. Not just that, but many of the illegal immigrant communities, in my opinion. Let's go to Southern California, for crying out loud, okay? Another interesting action over the weekend from the White House. President Trump ended up canceling all executive orders and pardons done by Otto Penn. Now, I don't know if this has a real effect at the moment, or if it sets this up for yet another court challenge, which seems to be what, you know, you send it up to the Supreme Court. I don't know if this is something that would qualify going into the emergency docket or not. Once again, we'll talk with Dr. Powers about that. But what he wrote over the weekend, the pardons, and he put those in scary air quotes, the pardons that Sleepy Joe Biden gave to the Unselect Committee of Political Thugs and many others are hereby declared void, vacant, and of no further force or effect, because of the fact that they were done by Otto Penn. In other words, Joe Biden did not sign them, but more importantly, he did not know anything about them. The necessary pardoning documents were not explained to or approved by Biden. He knew nothing about them, and the people that did may have committed the crime. Therefore, those on the Unselect Committee who destroyed and deleted all evidence obtained during their 2-year witch hunt of me and many other innocent people should fully understand that they are subject to investigation at the highest level. The fact is, they were probably responsible for the documents that were signed on their behalf without the knowledge or consent of the worst president in the history of our country, Crooked Joe Biden. I wish he'd tell us what he really thinks when he does these executive orders, but there we go. I don't know if he can actually technically cancel the pardon, but I think you could certainly bring up a court challenge of the pardons. You know, the challenge that we're looking here is that challenging the pardon power, the pardon power is very broad, kind of unchecked. And that's why it's been important to have good people in there if you're going to do pardons. But anyway, we'll see. We'll talk more with Dr. Powers about that. Another interesting story hasn't been getting a lot of play here. But I was reading this in Military Times. Navy details separation process for transgender personnel. It's Riley Cedar's article here from Friday. The Navy order aligns with a February 26th Defense Department memo that instructs transgender service members to separate from the military. So they're kicking them out. U.S. Navy administrative order released on Thursday outlines the new policy that forces transgender service members to separate from the military. The guidelines intended for military personnel who the order states have a current diagnosis or history or exhibit symptoms consistent with gender dysphoria. And it says that the Navy will revoke exceptions that allow troops to follow the standards of a sex different from their identification in the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System. So they're getting serious over in the military. The trans world is ending in the military. Cross-sex hormone therapy will be allowed to continue while personnel are employed by the Defense Department if recommended by a Department of Defense health care provider. The order also recommends that service members with a diagnosis of gender dysphoria consult with a Defense Department health care provider for mental health counseling. Active duty and reserve transgender service members can request voluntary separation or retirement, if eligible, no later than March 28th. Once a request is placed, personnel will receive a non-deployable status. Service members who fail to submit a voluntary separation or retirement request will face involuntary separation. So they will fire you unless you choose to resign. So if you have gender dysphoria in the era of demanding that the Island of Misfit Humans not only get taxpayer-funded surgery, but then also get exceptions, don't get put into certain places, and then we get, I can't be deployed right now. Hey, if you can't be deployed, you're gone, in essence, is what they're saying. And this is a part of common sense returning to the military. There we go. 658. We go to line 3. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, this is James. And
hi, James.
I just read the story on Gateway Pundit about, it says, demented Obama judge who wants to liberate Venezuelan gang members sent 70 Trump supporters to prison on made-up 1512C charges that were later overturned by the Supreme Court.
So he was one of the J6ers then, one of the J6er judges.
Plus, he was one that on the FISA thing for President Trump,
mm-hmm.
he was in on that too. And anyway, the guy is definitely out to get Trump. And the January 6th, he gave one New York police officer that was there on January 6th, gave him two years in prison for a misdemeanor crime of being in the Capitol, just parading around.
The fact that judge, though, would have taken that, what was that measure, or what was that that Enron era law that they were using again? What was that called?
Is it 1512C?
The 1512C. Yeah, the obstruction of a official government function, et cetera, et cetera. That's the one that you're talking about, right? The fact that the judge would even go along with it shows that judge is also complicit with the agenda and is not deserving of being paid attention to as far as his court orders, okay?
I don't know how we get him on the airplane, but he needs to spend a little time himself.
If we had a proper Congress at this point, and we really don't have a proper Congress, there would be a lot of impeaching of judges. It's about the only way that you can really deal with them is to impeach them and remove them from office.
He's political. He's just out to get the Republicans and Trump and supporters.
I'm sure if Joe Biden were doing it, he would not be worried about Trendy Arawagwa's civil rights at that point in time. Okay? Fair enough. Let me go to next line. Good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
This is Tom. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Tom. What's on your mind?
I wanted to know if you heard about the new pharmaceutical that's out there.
I'm afraid to ask, but go ahead.
it's a new pill.
yeah. Is that by Pfizer or Fitz Pfizer or something? I don't know. It's 7 o'clock, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. I'm always afraid when somebody calls with a joke. Now you know why.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our